we're going to have grace when we sit here and look at how we're going to handle it. I haven't met to the detail and in depth with our players that I want to. I have talked to literally double handfuls of very, very engaged people. I have had input from ex-presidents. I've had input from presidents. I've had input from a cross-section of our players, former players, and I will continue to have input. This is a very serious matter. We've asked for the platform. As I mentioned earlier, we have the platform. We're going to show grace. I'm going to show grace, and I'd like to show that kind of grace in a sensitive matter that comes up. Everybody's genuine here. I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt relative to any decision that I make. Clarence, as you know, I have one thing. My job is to run the Dallas Cowboys. My job is to do what's right. We've asked for all of this interest, and we've asked for our players to give everything they've got. And I want to sit down when I have an issue and I have a decision to make. I want to show the world that I can do it with grace and come up with the right solution. I don't know what we're going to be faced with here a month from now or 2 months from now. When it happens, I'm giving you the backdrop of how I'll make the decision at the time or encourage our players. Our players have always been open ear for anything that I have to offer, and I've been open ear for what they have to offer, and that's what we'll do. We will do it in the way that we think that is as sensitive and has as much grace for the genuine feelings of everybody in mind.
You're not about that life, champ. I can see it.
Game over, man. Game over.
He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk.
Come on. Playoffs? You kidding me?
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it. I want winners. Here we go!
Playing to win the game.
That was one heck of a timeout.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Ron is in trouble.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
EA Hunter sarcastically speaking about sports podcast.
I wonder if anybody counted the amount of times he said grace. Said fucking grace. No, he just said grace. Probably 17. I'm like, dude, why is this kneeling still a fucking issue? To kneel or not to kneel, an issue, still. I'll tell you why. Because 45 hijacked it. He hijacked it. Because he's still on Twitter ranting about anybody kneel during the flag is disrespectful and I don't like them. And you know, hey, I mean, 45, his ass. He insults people like a 10-year-old. Anybody that kneels is a stupid poo-poo head. That's what is, you know? I mean, Jerry Jones, let's keep this shit real. We all know the real reason why he's doing that shit, okay? Look. Let me tell you something, man. It's all about business. Business, man. Look, he owns what are the Cowboys worth? What, $5 billion franchise that depends on revenue generated from ticket sales and merchandise sales and TV rights. And who? Where do you get all that from? The fucking fans, aka the general public, the fanatics. That motherfucker's just trying to run his business. I mean, when it first popped up, he, like a lot of other people, you know, morning, he, like a lot of other people, so, you know, it's disrespectful. People died for that. Just like, look, man, you talk to people that actually did go to war and fight for your right to be able to do that. A lot of these military people don't see it that way, man. But again, it's because 45 hijacked the narrative. And that's the reason. Jones is just trying to keep his business going, okay? I also think he's a little delusional if he's talking about there's going to be fans in the stands in about a month. I don't know about that. The only fans that are going to be in the stands in a month are them fucking cutout fans that you're seeing. I don't know that real people are trying to fucking come to anything like that for a while. That's the god honest truth of the whole damn thing. I mean, I feel like I came full circle again, kind of like I have with the coronavirus, in that at first, when Kaepernick kneeled, it was when he was on the 49ers. His play deteriorated. I just felt like it was a maneuver. Okay. He did it. The 49ers didn't fuck with him. Then they let him go. Then he becomes a social justice warrior. Well, he's sponsored by Nike, because I love that Nike commercial. Note to self, put in audio from Nike commercial.
If people say your dreams are crazy, if they laugh at what you think you can do, good. Stay that way. Because what non-believers fail to understand is that calling a dream crazy is not an insult. It's a compliment. Don't try to be the fastest runner in your school or the fastest in the world. Be the fastest ever. Don't picture yourself wearing OBJ's jersey. Picture OBJ wearing yours. Don't settle for homecoming queen or linebacker. Do both. Lose 120 pounds and become an Ironman after beating a brain tumor. Don't believe you have to be like anybody to be somebody. If you're born a refugee, don't let it stop you from playing soccer for the national team at age 16. Don't become the best basketball player on the planet. Be bigger than basketball. Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. When they talk about the greatest team in the history of the sport, make sure it's your team. If you have only one hand, don't just watch football. Play it at the highest level. And if you're a girl from Compton, don't just become a tennis player. Become the greatest athlete ever. Yeah. That's more like it. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
That it's pretty fucking inspiring. If you ask me, I find it inspiring. The people who put those commercials together, fuck, man. Walking through the park, got all these cops. But dude, I think I've already seen that, like, in regards to Jerry Jones, a new drinking game is how many times he says grace. Every time he says grace, you take a fucking shot. That's the new game, I think. I love how, let's be real, dude, he talked all the way around the subject. He didn't agree or disagree. He put himself right in the middle, which, in a way, I'm not mad at him. I'm not, man. It's about business. I mean, dude, in the commercial, how did Kaepernick? How did he phrase it? You have to give up everything to get something. Well, I just played it, so, but it was poignant how he phrased it, because Kaepernick did. He gave up, because he, for all intents and purposes, has no football career. For the longest time, he was getting blackballed. He was. Let's keep this shit real. Motherfucker was getting blackballed. He was. Dude, again. And you know why he was getting blackballed? Some of the owners he had were kind of like, you know what? He's kneeling. It's disrespectful. Fans hate it when he's doing that. You know? some owners were probably pissed off, but the most of them, They were looking at the bottom fucking line. The bottom line. Pissing off people. They're not coming to the games. People not coming to the games is money that's not going in their pockets. So, again, for the 15th time, I get it, man. If you're a business owner, you're just trying to survive. You know, maybe you should leave the social justice warrior shit to the people without $5 billion companies. And I'm sure some people be like, that's what the fucking problem is. Hey, man, we've all got one life to live. And you should live it the way you want to. But how difficult is that, again, if you're running a business? Because you don't want to piss people off. It's almost like being a politician, man. As a politician, or even president for that matter, no president is ever universally loved. If you appeal to people. People have opinions. And if you cater to some of the opinions, some of those other opinions that aren't being catered to are going to get pissed off. And the Kaepernick thing, I mean, it's funny because he gets blackballed, does that weird fucking tryout and shit with teams. With a couple teams, and he moves it, and it was almost like, I don't even think he wants to play anymore. I love the Bill Burr take on the Colin Kaepernick shit. All right, play the Bill Burr shit.
No, everything has just become fucking absolutes in the States. It's fucking nuts. Like that Colin Kaepernick guy, right? You knew when he was like protesting during the national anthem, no one was gonna listen to what the fuck he had to say, no matter how much he explained it. He goes, I'm taking a knee during the national anthem. This is a protest about police brutality, the way people of color are treated. We'd like to open a dialogue. He got about halfway through that. People are like, my brother's fighting in Iraq, you fucking piece of shit. It's just like, buddy, nobody is saying your brother isn't in Iraq fighting. You're not listening. This is about police brutality. My brother's a firefighter. He watched 9/11 on television. No, buddy. Nobody's saying that your brother's not a firefighter. I got a bone spur in my heel. I can still stand up during the fucking song. Buddy, nobody is saying you can't see a fucking podiatrist. All right? You're not listening.
I mean, people were just upset. It was almost like a trigger thing. Kneeling, people freak out. People freak out. I saw, but I actually reposted it. And it was something I saw on Facebook. Let me see if I can find it. Because it was incredibly insightful. It put things in perspective. Well, put things in a form that I think I felt, but didn't really know how to articulate. Let me find that shit. Let's see here. Scroll. This is some dead air, isn't it? Here it is. Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe, say, or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise convictions to be compassionate. Dave Chappelle. Good morning. That's exactly what it is, man. I don't know that a lot of people are blessed with the ability to disagree with somebody, but still respect them. Or respect that they have an opinion. People feel as though it's like if you don't agree with them, you don't agree with everything. And that's not the case. It's not. Or at least it doesn't have to be. I've said it a bunch of times. I like talking to people I don't agree with. I want to hear where their mindset is, where they're coming from. I can't really think about too much stuff that really offends me. But you know, one epiphany that I definitely have come to. In regards to the election, I think I said at my last podcast is that I wasn't really a fan of either of the candidates, Biden or Trump, but I can't fuck with Trump on the strength of him just, he's so divisive and toxic for the country. He's not good for the country in that. Yeah, he's got some positives, but that negative right there, It's just he's not uniting us. He's keeping us separate. He keeps us hating each other. He's doubling down. He's, you know, catering to his racist base. Because again, another saying, not all Trump supporters are racist, but all racists are Trump supporters. Yeah. They are. Because it's true, man. It's true. The way he is has made it okay for people to just out and out hate and disrespect people. Made it okay to do those types of things. Which, fuck that, no. No. One thing I love about, I don't say love, but I find interesting, is that his whole, when he was running, he was the anti-politician. He didn't have to worry about them because he wasn't one of them. Dude, he got in that office and he started playing the game just like everybody else. Just like he's playing this game now where he's trying to, you know, what is he? He put out some statement saying, look, we might need to postpone the election for a little while till we get this crunch. Motherfucker, no. 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 Not postponing anything. This isn't a fucking monarchy, man. It's a democracy. Okay? You can't do what Putin did. Yeah, Putin's a warlord. He runs this shit over there, okay? They're going to have a revolt. A coup d'etat, if you will, to get that motherfucker out of there. I don't even know. And as far as the Korean dude, Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-fat or Little Rocket Boy, as Trump refers to him. Is he still alive or did he die? I heard some stories back in the day where he apparently went in for like some cosmetic surgery or some shit, and he died and was on a vent. And then news broke that he was faking being dead. And yeah, the whole thing is just a bunch of nonsense. And then apparently his sister is just as bad as him. But hey, whatever. Just send Rodman over there with a case of Crown. I ought to solve that. Back to the original beginning of this podcast was Jerry Jones, man. Jerry Jones is funny to me. He is. He's won a couple Super Bowls with that team, but he's right out in front, man. I remember me and my buddy Clint used to talk about him. You know, he just sits up in his office. I love doing my Jerry Jones impression. Hello. This is Jerry, Dallas Cowboys, America's dream, America's team. This is Jerry Jones, go. Hello, Dallas Cowboys, America's team. This is JJ, go. Hey, Bubba, can you refreshing my drink? Cling, 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 cling. Because as I've said it before, you know he's got some bag man who takes care of everything. And his name is definitely Bubba. And he's definitely got a 10-gallon fucking cowboy hat. What is this guy doing? That's a guy out here on the path. He's sweeping it. I don't really get why. I'm not going to ask why. I'm definitely not going to ask why. But of course, my dog has to stop and sniff every fucking blade of grass. Don't you? I'm interested to see what the Cowboys even do, if there is a season. Got a new head coach. They got rid of the Clapper. Where did he go? I think he went to the Giants. Good morning. Yeah, he went to the Giants. I think Freddie Kitchens is over there too. Again, like I said, I'm curious to see how their season goes. Dak got the, what did he put the franchise tag on him? Because what did he want, like $40 million a year? Go fuck yourself, man. You're not getting $40 million a year. And it's not like you're starving to eat either. I see them commercials, all them commercials you're making. Dude, all them direct TV and... how's it going? I mean, dude, you look at all his endorsements, man. He actually doesn't hold out, but you know what? I guess that's how you get your fucking money. Hold out. But Jerry Jones is like, fuck that. Because what was he, like a 7th round from draft pick? Something along those lines. This is around the time, too, that like... you know, training camps start and there's not going to be a preseason. You got that. And I'm shocked to find out that they're still doing NFL Hard Knocks. As a matter of fact, I think the first episode is up. And it's featuring two teams, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Los Angeles Rams, who are finishing a brand new stadium that they're going to share. It's like, that's kind of fucking weird. It's probably no, it's no more different than the Clippers and the Lakers sharing Staples Center. Probably save money between the two organizations doing it that way. There's no probably. You have to be. Don't you? I would think. Whatever.
That's that Headhunter Productions. You don't know nothing about that, Headhunter.
Headhunter, son?